Börsenradio Network AG. Das Vorstandsinterview.
Ian Botha, CFO for RHI Magnesita, based in Vienna, Austria.
Welcome to Börsenradio. My name is Andreas. RHI Magnesita is the global leader in an, well, indispensable niche market. The company protects steel plants, glassworks, and cement kilns from extreme heat. It's a refractory product with temperatures exceeding 1,200 degrees Celsius. Many wear out regularly, creating recurring demand. The group combines Austrian and Brazilian roots. The legal structure is Dutch, and the primary listing is London. Secondary listing is in Wien. Mr. Botha, what do customers really buy? Refractory bricks, safety, or plant availability?
Andreas, they buy all three. Our customers buy a combination of our refractory products, which can be bricks or with a very unique shape, or mixes, which are sprayed on in the customer environment, to services, the design, the testing, the installation, the maintenance of their environment. Or they can buy a solution, which is all the products, all the services that we offer. They do this because we can support them to improve the quality of their product, the operational efficiency of their environment, and reduce their cost. Increasingly, we can also help them improve their sustainability footprint.
How would you describe your company, RHI Magnesita? How do I get in contact with your products, maybe without knowing?
So refractories, as you introduced, is a key enabler for modern day life. All high temperature applications require refractories. So whether it is in kilns, smelters, furnaces, nuclear reactors that are producing a range of products from steel, copper, nickel, platinum group metals, all of these are extruded through environments containing refractories.
The products you're selling, some last years, some last only a few hours, which must be good for your business. How predictable does this wear make your business?
65% of our revenue comes out of the steel sector. Here, our refractories are consumed in a matter of minutes, hours, or days, and these refractories are operating cost items for our customers, typically representing 1% to 2% of the customer's cost base. The other 35% goes into industrial applications. Around 40% of that is an operating cost, particularly in the cement industry where there is an annual rebuild. And the other 60% of that 35% goes into industrial projects. These are projects in copper, in nickel, in platinum group metals, in lithium, where our refractories are CapEx items and part of a much bigger CapEx project for our customer.
You're the CFO, the financial officer. You know all the figures. Is RHI Magnesita sufficiently diversified? Steel generates more than 2/3 of revenue. The higher margin glass business, as I learned, remains a little bit weak.
Andreas, yes. You just need to look at our EBITA margins to see the resilience of our margins over multiple cycles over many years. That resilience comes from the diversification. Diversification both across segment, so steel, 65% of our revenue, industrial, 35% of our revenue, steel being a relatively early cycle industry and industrial being a relatively late cycle industry, but also because we are diversified by end customer segment, with construction representing around 45% of end customer demand, vehicles representing around 16% of end customer demand, and heavy equipment representing around 12%. We are also diversified geographically, with the United States being our single biggest market, but with a very important position in Europe, in India, in the Middle East, in Latin America, and China, East Asia. All of that diversification and the fact that our product is an essential item for our customers to produce means that we have a level of margin stability and cash flow stability which are a core part of our investment case.
And what about the cost side? How can I imagine that? Costs for raw products, for materials, for energy, for transport?
So indeed, raw materials is the single largest component of our cost base, representing over 70% of the aggregate costs that we incur. We are backward integrated, which means that we produce the large majority of the raw material by volume and by value that we consume. In particular, we produce the magnesite and dolomite-based raw material in our mining operations in China, in Turkey, in Austria, in Brazil, and in the United States that we then convert into our high-temperature refractory applications. The other key consumables are raw materials from graphite alumina, which we will purchase, clearly energy, and then labor.
What about the current situation of the global crisis with not-so-easy transport ways sometimes, or the tax issues for the U.S.?
So certainly we have been impacted by the Middle East and conflict and by the U.S. tariffs. From a U.S. tariff perspective, we completed a very important acquisition last year, the acquisition of Resco in the U.S. market, a high-quality industrial player, and that over time is moving our local-for-local production towards 80%. So we are very much a US-based, US producer, and that is important for our US customers who look for high-quality products and services and have an expectation that we can support them. The tariff arrangements we have navigated very well. The core geography where we have suffered a disadvantage is out of Brazil, where the tariff isn't the typical 10 to 12.5%, but is 37.5%. And that has meant that we have moved and are moving production capacity from Brazil into North America to better supply our customers. From a Middle East conflict perspective and the supply chain here, we are particularly proud of how we have responded. The maturity of our supply chain infrastructure means that we have seamlessly supplied our customers at all times. And you'll understand that that's an important issue given that our products are essential items for our customers to produce. That said, we have seen higher costs, which we have been passing on to our customers. We have seen the impact because of the Middle East conflict of delays of industrial projects both into the second half of this year and into 2027 and beyond, as customers have adopted a more cautious approach to a CapEx expenditure.
Mm-hmm. How can we guess your genuine operational strengths? We have on one side the revenue that remains more or less flat by 1.6 billion during the first half. On the other side, we have an adjusted EBITDA that increased by almost 20% to 165 million. So is it a cost issue that you're lowering the cost?
So in this challenging market environment that we are operating in, where in particular the industrial project part of our business, which is the highest margin component of our business, is experiencing a temporary cyclical low, and where steel markets are soft but resilient and starting to show improvement. In that challenging market environment, what is delivering the improvement in our earnings is the self-help that we're advancing. And in particular, that self-help is focused around four key areas. The first, around SG&A cost reduction, so reduction in our sales general administration costs through increased standardization, automation, a rollout of a new SAP ERP, and greater use of our shared service center. Secondly, it's around our network optimization to better consolidate production on a smaller footprint to reduce our fixed costs while seamlessly supplying our customers. Thirdly, it is around moving our customers up our margin curve as we move customers from buying only products to products plus services, and hopefully our full solution offering where they buy all the products, services, the technology that are available from our business. And then finally, We've been speaking to the market about the new raw material measures that we are advancing to structurally reduce our raw material cost base and to sell magnesite-based raw materials that have traditionally been going from our side into the refractory market, into non-refractory markets in agriculture, in hydrometallurgical and other areas. That is driving the improvement in our earnings, not just over the last 12 months, but that will continue to improve in coming periods.
The CFO also is looking at the net debt. We have a 1.5 billion. Interests are also rising. What takes, from your perspective, priority? Deleveraging, dividends, or further acquisitions?
So net debt is indeed temporarily higher following the acquisition of Resco for $410 million early in 2025. Our priority from a capital allocation perspective remains on spending what we need to on maintenance capex, which is around $80 million per annum. The dividend, which is typically around 85 million euros per year. We have a dividend policy which we have consistently applied over many years to keep our dividend cover below 3 times. It's a very important part of our investment case, and RHIM today has the highest dividend yield in our sector within both the FTSE 100 and the FTSE 250. After those two, our current priority is on deleveraging, and we are seeking to reduce our net debt to EBITDA from 2.9 down towards 2.6 this year and below that in 2027. And the strength of our operating cash flow over the last 3 years, each year around 400 million euros, and the high cash conversion that we have, over 90%, gives us a level of confidence that every year, in the absence of doing further M&A, we will reduce leverage by 0.3 to 0.4 turns. After that, our priority from a growth perspective is M&A, but we are clear that even as we work on M&A, we will not complete any M&A before the end of next year in order for us to be able to delever our balance sheet.
Mm-hmm. You're facing a change in the board. CEO will go, a new one will come. Stefan Borgas leaves the group at the end of October. Gustavo Franco takes over. What does it mean for the strategy of RHI?
This is a seamless transition. Stefan has led the transformation of our business after the combination at the end of 2017, changing the culture, the footprint, the systems and processes in our organization. Gustavo has been part of the leadership team for many years, including over recent years as part of the executive management team, and he will transition seamlessly into that role from the 1st of November. There is no change in strategy. We will continue to focus on reducing costs, moving our customers up our margin curve with our 4PRO solutions offering, and advancing M&A.
We are meeting here at the Hamburger Investorentage with Montega. Many journalist colleagues asking similar questions, many investors ask similar questions as I did here with the Börsen Radio. But the key question is, why should I buy shares from RHI Magnesita? What is the equity story? What is the Botschaft to the market?
So we've received a very positive response from investors at the Montega conference. We're really pleased to be here. Our investment case is as the industry leader in the refractory market, a globally diversified business operating 80 plants across 50 geographies that is backward integrated with strong operational cash flow and technology and sustainability leadership, able to deliver differentiated returns through the cycle. Currently, our business has been going through a challenging period from a market backdrop, and investors are intrigued to learn about the operational leverage coming through from the self-help on costs and the revenue, and the potential for improvement to come through from higher top line as markets improve in both industrial and steel, supported by regulatory change around the world. That and the M&A agenda are the core components of our investment case.
Jan Botha, CFO, RHI Magnesita. Thank you for this interview.
Thank you, Andreas. Great to be with you.
Börsenradio Network AG.
Hat Ihnen dieser Podcast der Wiener Börse gefallen? Dann lassen Sie es uns doch wissen und bewerten Sie unseren Podcast mit vollen 5 Sternen. Vielen Dank und bis zum nächsten Podcast. Alles rund um Börse.